Good morning, church family. I see there are so many new faces. I think they didn't know if I'm preaching. Well, lucky me, you are here. Yeah. Well, this is exciting week of the year in our Spokane Baptist Church, and I'm super joyful. And my heart is just filled with gratitude and joy and happiness. How many other words you need for these kind of feelings? Yeah, I'm super thankful. This is my fourth year as a mission pastor in this church, and the fourth time of preaching on mission conference. And I assume some of you already know a few lines that I speak every year. And I want to begin with those lines that I use, that I speak every year. And my favorite line is that the mission conference in Spokane Baptist Church is less instructional and more celebration. This is my famous line that I like to begin with. But let me tell you that today, when I repeat my own sentences, I am a million times more confident compared to last previous 3 years. And that confidence came from Brother Don's devotion that he preached a couple weeks ago. If you don't trust me, just go ahead and watch that. Brother Don was less instructional and more celebrating. Instead of having hammer in his hand, he had a flowers. Usually the pastors, they like to hold hammers in their hand when they are preaching. But he had flowers. He kept saying, "Good job, Spokane Baptist Church." Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it is. It is a celebration. When I was preparing and putting this sermon together, I thought this year I would like to preach from the most famous passage of the Bible, Matthew chapter 28. And I would like to share some things which the Lord has taught me. Every year I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, at least once a year, and twice a year I would read the New Testament. And every time I read this passage of the Bible, it is a blessing. Every time I prepare, I learn something new. And today I'm not going to preach. I'm going to share those things which I have learned. So I think I've said it multiple times that the first recipient of the sermon is not the church. It's the pastor.
That's true.
So whatever I'm preaching, it's first for me and then for you. So let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this wonderful morning. It reminds us that you were victorious, and you are victorious, and you will be victorious. Lord, thank you very much for saving us, giving us the hope of eternal life, gathering us here in this building to worship you and to learn from your word. We give our mind and heart to you this time. And we pray that let our minds and heart, our thoughts, not be distracted. Help us to stay here physically, emotionally, spiritually, in whatever way we need to be here to comprehend what you want to tell us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a very short sermon today. It has only three main points, and each of three main points has three sub-points. And each of those 3 points have three sub-points. So it's going to be... Thank you. So it's going to be very short. It's going to be short. Yeah. As I was putting these things... I have a burden to share three things. And one of them is, the first thing is, the significance of the mission, why we take it so seriously. And the second thing I would like to talk to you about is about the commissioner. Help understand commissioner, who he is, and what makes him different from all the other commissioners around us. And the third thing I would like to help myself together with you to understand the mission. So let's begin with my first point here. I'm not good at using this clicker. Okay, what's the significance of the mission? When I was thinking about this question, I thought the work which is being done in the world makes it more significant. I was 16 years old when I joined Operation Mobilization, and then I worked with Campus Crusade for a couple of years and had a chance to work with youth with a mission, and then worked with a smaller local organization which was reaching the majority people in my country. And three of these organizations, they are huge, big organizations. Campus Crusade claims to have the largest number of volunteers, maybe 600,000 or more than that. Operation Mobilization is one of the richest organizations. They have their own ships which travels around and preaches the gospel. And then Youth with a Mission, they have all kinds of ministry. Their staff reaching different parts of the world. And three of these biggest ministries, they are working in more than 150 countries. They have their campuses and they have their staff. And I thought maybe this makes the mission significance. It makes more important because there are many, many people who are involved in it. And maybe the money we spend in preaching the gospel makes it important. But today I want to begin by saying that mission is not significant because many, many people are doing it.
Yeah, that's
true. The significance of the mission is because Jesus himself, he emphasized it.
Yeah, that's good.
He has emphasized it. It doesn't, you and I working for the gospel, for the mission, doesn't make it significant. But when Jesus emphasized something, it is very, very important. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus appeared 40 days to his disciples. And we don't really know in those 40 days how many times he appeared to his disciples. He appeared and he disappeared. But there are 11 references in the New Testament where we see that Jesus appeared to his disciples. And guess what? In those 40 days, every time he appeared, he talked to them just two things. He communicated the gospel. He helped them understand the gospel in based on the Old Testament. He communicated the gospel. And second thing, he commissioned them.
That's right.
Every time he met them, he commissioned them. Usually when we want to learn about the Great Commission, this is the only passage we turn to. But there are other Bible passages. If you read John chapter 20, the first time he appeared to Mary and he said, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. I will go. That's where they will see me. John chapter 20, that's where Jesus met his disciples when they were locked in the room. And he just came in the locked doors and he said, as the Father sent me, I also sent you. And John chapter 21, do you remember Jesus cooked breakfast for his disciples? He cooked fish for them. When he fed them, he said to Peter, feed my lamb. Three times. And Luke chapter 24, he was speaking to his disciple, that's appearances after his resurrection. He said, the repentance and remission of sin will be preached in my name in all nations. And then lastly, we have the passage just we read, Matthew 28, where he commissioned his disciples. Out of 11 appearances, at least 5 times, he said, go and preach the gospel. It tells us something very important. Jesus was going to where he came from, but he wanted to tell his disciples something most important. And he said, go and preach the gospel. And it's noteworthy. Jesus didn't say, go and become more holy. Jesus didn't say, go and be good. Jesus didn't command his disciples to go do the social work. I'm not against social work. I'm just saying that when he was leaving, the most important thing he told his disciples was to go and preach the gospel. I was reading the story of Buddha. When he was about to die, he gathered all his monks and he said, behold, O monks, this is my advice to you. All component things in the world are changeable. They are not lasting. Work hard to gain your own salvation. Well, Jesus said, don't worry about your salvation. You trust me, you're saved. You trust me, you're saved. Just go and tell everybody that they can also get saved. All they have to do is just come to me. Come to me and they will get saved. Jesus said to his disciples, the most important thing, Jesus, he was for 40 days with his disciples, and this is the only thing which he told his disciples. He himself emphasized it, which makes the Great Commission more significant than anything else. And especially these days, in our days, it is urgent. It is urgent because the word God is being canceled in our society. The prayers are becoming illegal in the school assemblies. The world, the society is taking away God from our books and lips. It is going away. It is vanishing. There is a country in the world which has declared that all the religions are mental disorder. And their parliament has voted to put mental disorder warnings on the Bible, injurious for health. Have you ever seen the Bible which has injurious for health, for mental health? It's coming. And I'm talking about a different country. How about USA? How about our country? The word God is being taken away from you. Do you know that the society is introducing a new God to you? His name is Gosh. Well, who taught you this Gosh thing? Do you know this Gosh guy? I don't know. I heard people saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Why they are introducing you Gosh instead of God? I mean, the future, the time is not far away when your coming generation will pray to Gosh, not God. Our God is God, Yehovah, the Almighty, the self-existent. Who introduced you to Gosh? Jesus emphasized the Great Commission. So there is something important about this. I asked one of my brother, I was traveling with him and he said, something happened and he said, oh my gosh. And I said, where did you learn this? He said, you know, we shouldn't take God's name in vain, so we just say gosh instead of God. I said, do you know what you're doing by saying this? You're committing two sins. You're twisting God's name, and you work his name in vain.
Right.
Twisting God's name is severe sin than denying his existence. That means you know him, and you're twisting his name. The society is introducing us to a different God. That is why we need to stand up and focus ourselves on the Great Commission. And I believe this is the reason why when Jesus had only 40 days, he wanted to tell his disciples, hey, this is the most important thing. Get up and go. Second, I would like to say that the empowerment is to accomplish the mission. Jesus was about to go, about to ascend to heaven, where he was, where he come from. And he said to his disciples, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the whole world. Now, interestingly, the Holy Spirit comes and reside in you, not to perform miracles. I'm not against miracles. Miracles are good. But the main thing, the main purpose of empowerment is that you will be the witnesses.
That's true.
When you have temperature, fever, you have a meter. You have a thermometer? This is the thermometer to check if you're a Christian, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now check your pulse for a mission, and you'll find out if you're a Christian or not. The empowerment was to accomplish the Great Commission. And this makes the mission more significant. Because when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, he said, you must go. And he said, I'm equipping you. And this equipment is only for the preaching of the gospel. Only for the preaching. Doing social work, doing the work of miracles is good. But our empowerment individually and as a church collectively is to preach the gospel. If the gospel is not preached, then there is a huge question mark on individual and on church. It's very urgent in these days that we preach the gospel. If we want to save our generation, we need to preach the gospel. We need to go in those cities where the Bible is being canceled, where the name of God is being taken away from the lips of our coming generation. Jesus said, I will empower you, and you go and preach the gospel. And I would like to say that when we partner with the missionaries, we don't really partner with them on the basis of mercy. Oh, poor guys don't have money, let's support them. We support them because we want to partner with them. You can come and correct me if I'm wrong. Missionaries, they can survive without churches, but the churches cannot survive without missionaries.
Yeah.
And do you know why missionaries can survive? Because Jesus said, okay, you are going, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
And if somebody has companionship with Jesus, he will always succeed. But if the presence of Jesus is gone from the church is dead.
That's right.
The church is no more church if it's not preaching the gospel. This is the significance of the mission. Let's talk about the commissioner. If we understand the commissioner better, we can obey his commission in a better way. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17 was just read for you. And it says, they all saw him, they all worshiped him, and they were all sent. Jesus spoke to them all. Verse number 17 and 18, read it carefully. It is always in plural form. They saw him, they worshiped him, and he spoke to them. It was not some, it was all. So the first thing about my commissioner is that he sends all. The commission which Jesus gave was not for some. It was for all the people, all the disciples who were there in the church. And all means all.
Yeah.
Verse 17 says, all of them saw him and all of them worshipped him, but some doubted. All means all. Even those who were doubtful. Interestingly, I don't really know what their doubts were. And I don't even know how many were doubtful. It says some doubted. Now, how many is some? At least, I think more than one or two. There were 11. Let's say 5 were doubtful. Well, 49% of them were doubtful. He's sending everybody. Sometimes Christians, they come and say, oh, I need to learn more. I need some training. I think I have some questions. I think I have some doubts. Well, once you have worshiped Jesus, you are qualified to go. The Bible says they worshiped him. The word proskuneo is not reverent thing. It is a worship. It is a worship to the living God. The only qualification for somebody to go is to worship Jesus. If you have worshiped him, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, you ought to go. Every single person is commanded to go. This commissioner does not, do I have Bible verse for this? Yeah. He sends everybody. And interestingly, this commissioner is not looking for obedient people. Do you know that Jesus is not looking for obedient people? He's looking for those who will worship him. There is a huge difference between worshiping and becoming obedience. Do you know that worship can produce obedience, but obedience cannot produce worship? You obey your boss, but you don't really worship him. You don't even love him. But worshiping Jesus can produce your love for Christ and your obedience for Christ. And that will be the true obedience for which God, Jesus is looking for. This commissioner is looking for a worshiper. The worshiper who will worship him in truth. He's looking for the worshipers. First worship and then obedience. That's the right order in serving Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
come and worship him and then go and obey him. And he sends everybody. If I was Christ, I would find out who the doubters are and give them another 10 lessons on discipleship and 10 lessons on the deity and divinity and the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't do it. He didn't do that. He said, you have worshipped me, you are mine. Now go, don't stay here. Go. And they went and they did preach the gospel. Second, this commissioner has the ability to be with his commissioned people. When he said go, he doesn't send them alone. He says, lo, I am with you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. And this companionship is not limited to time and space. When he says always, that covers the time, 24 hours. And when it says ends of the world, that covers the space. Anytime, anywhere. That means the Kubiks working in Mongolia, they have Jesus with them. That means Reimers working in Liberia have Jesus with them. That means Roars working in Latvia, they have Jesus with him. We are serving here Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is with us today. Not because you're Christian, not because you're good people, but because he promised. He promised. He said, you go and I'll be with you. He sends us with his presence. And when Jesus was talking during his earthly ministry, he also talked to his disciple in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This was Jesus' promise. He said, I will come to you. He said, I will never leave you comfortless. I don't know why in King James it's comfortless, but in Greek it is orphanos. And you can guess from the word orphanos, it's orphan. He said, I will never leave you orphan. Even if you're single, living alone, preaching my gospel, you will have my presence with you. I will never leave you. Worldly commissioners, they do not have the ability to be with their commissioned people. But this is divine. This is divine commissioner who says, wherever you go, whenever you go, I am with you. He may not send his people fully trained, but he does send his people fully equipped with his presence. And I believe being fully equipped with his presence is much better than having training. You can do PhD in preaching the gospel and may not know Jesus personally. I have seen those kind of people in the seminaries who are PhD and they do not even know the ABC of the gospel. I've known and I've worked with them. Third thing I would like to say about my commissioner, that he has all the authority. All the authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Well, when you talk about Jesus' authority, we read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see his authority over the sickness, over death. We see his authority forgiving sins. And we also see his authority over the nature. I mean, he could say, calm down to the roaring sea, and roaring sea would just calm down. The literal translation of calm down is get muzzled. He can tell the roaring sea, get muzzled, and he will just calm down. That is his authority. But when Jesus was ascending, going back to the Father, he re-said it again. He said it again. All authority under heaven and on earth is given to me. Didn't Jesus have authority? Well, when he was preaching and teaching, when he was healing the sick, when he was opening the eyes of the blind, didn't he have the authority? He did have all the authority. But when he was ascending to heaven, he said to his disciples, hey, I was limited on this earth. in my human pajama, in my human dress. Now I am resurrected, and I can exercise my authority in heaven too. And he's telling his disciples, when you are going, don't just think about earth, not just on this earth, but in heaven, there is my authority. And I believe when it's not only his authority is not only on the sicknesses. The best of his authority is seen when he rules the written scripture. You read the Sermon on the Mount. When was the last time you read it? The Sermon on the Mount, few chapters in the book of Matthew. You will notice that Jesus keep repeating these sentences. He said, you've heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that's the authority that Jesus had. That's his authority. And you know, this authority can only be exercised by him who put that Old Testament together.
That's right.
He said, you've heard this, you've read this in Torah, but I'm telling you this, that's the authority of Jesus Christ, not only on the sicknesses and on the nature. Because you read the Old Testament, many, many prophets, they healed the sick. They raised the dead. They exercised authority on nature. But Jesus' authority was not only on the nature and on the sicknesses, but he has his authority on the scripture. He could reinterpret it. He could re-say it. It tells us that Jesus was not just a mere commissioner. He was a divine commissioner. Somebody who is the creator of this world. Someone who deserves the worship of every creation. That makes him the king of the universe, the king of life and death, the king of everything you see and everything which is unseen. Now let's talk about the mission. Understanding the mission. What is the nature of this mission? Now the first thing is, this mission is a commission. It's not an option. When Jesus said go, he didn't say if you feel like, you go. Jesus wasn't saying if the circumstances allow, you can go. And he wasn't also saying that if your mom and dad allow, you go. He didn't say if your wife, no, I think wife shouldn't be included here. Yeah. Because wife and husband, they both need to go.
Yes, sir.
But when Jesus said go, it was a commandment. It was a commission that could not be denied. And when he said go, we had to go. I was imagining, sometimes I imagine things. And sometimes I imagine weird things. They don't even have the clear picture. Sometimes when I imagine things, they don't have any ground. And when I was putting this sermon, I imagined people ascending to heaven. I imagined that I was preaching the gospel to somebody, and he accepted Christ. And as soon as he finished his prayer, he was ascending to heaven. Just like Jesus was ascended. What if this was true? What if this was true, that Everybody who believes, put their faith in Jesus Christ, is ascended to heaven. Because Jesus had picked you, he has saved you, and made you ready to go to heaven, but you're still here. So if you're not ascended to heaven after accepting Jesus Christ, what's the reason you're here? I deserve to be ascended to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. So why he's keeping me here? To suffer hunger, to suffer death, to see the loss of loved ones, to see all the corruption around me. Why he's keeping me this on this earth? Because he has commission. This is the only thing you're living on this earth. Otherwise, you don't really have a purpose. You don't have a purpose. Paul says you belong to heavenly colony. So why don't you go to that colony? You're staying here. God is keeping you still alive because he has a commission for you. This is the only reason. I would love to see everybody ascended to heaven who has accepted Jesus Christ. But if he's still keeping us here, this is the only reason. He said, you'll be my witnesses. You will witness me wherever you go. And that's the reason why we are here. It's commission. John chapter 21, 20 verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I also send you. This is a very interesting verse in Greek. The word as is explained as this. The word as means according to the manner in which God sent me. Now, in which manner did God send Jesus? Father commissioned the Son, and he said, yes, sir, I am going. And he came. Now, when Jesus said, I am sending you in the same manner in which God sent me, that means if Jesus didn't have choice to say no, we too don't have choice to say no. If Jesus couldn't have said no, we cannot say no. The word sent is apostello in Greek, which means the sent one. The commissioned people, the saved people, they might be called Christians, but the best words for them is sent ones, apostolo. And he said, I am sending you as the Father sent me. Word apostolo also means, which is sent out properly on a mission. Somebody who is sent on a mission, he is apostolo. And when Jesus said, when it says it's a... When I say it's a commission, that means there is no choice. It's not optional. It is a commission. The second thing I would like to say about this mission is that even though it's a global mission, it starts at local. It starts at local. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, "Well, you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and in all uttermost parts of the world." This is Jesus' strategy which he gave to his disciples. And just think about it. What if they have not? What if they didn't follow Jesus' strategy? What if they didn't take the Great Commission seriously? If they had not taken it seriously, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here rejoicing and praising God and celebrating the assurance of eternal life. They took it very seriously. The first church began in Jerusalem, and it didn't stay there. Even though they wanted to stay there, but it didn't stay there. The persecution came, and they spread it, and wherever they went, They preached the gospel. The disciples not only went to Jerusalem, to Rome, and to the nearest cities, but they also went to the different countries and continents. There is a tradition that Thomas, the doubter, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, he went to India. And his grave is still there in Odisha city. He went to preach the gospel to India. This far they went, because they said, they took this very serious when Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in the uttermost parts of the world." And Thomas said, "Okay, I'm going to India." And he did go there. There are archaeological proofs that he was there. And even though they had lots of difficulties in those days, they didn't have internet, they didn't have airplane, they didn't have ships, safe ships, but they did go. They did go, they took it seriously. And we should be thankful for those first century Christians who took this commission very seriously. And now it is our time to take this commission very, very seriously. Very seriously, and we can do that. You might say, "Oh, it's difficult, how can we go?" You know, the Spoken Baptist Church is already reaching more than 180 countries. How many of you believe my word? Spoken Baptist Church is reaching more than 180 countries. Well, we are partnered with Operation Mobilization. They have their campus in 180 countries. We are partnered with Campus Crusade for Christ, the largest missionary organization. We have our brothers in Cambodia. We have our brothers in Papua New Guinea. Isn't that Spokane Baptist Church? Well, you don't believe me. You're not excited on my words. But trust me, we are.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, we might say it's difficult, but we are already doing it. And we need to be more diligent, we need to be more active, we need to be more praying about this. Third thing I would like to say about this mission, that this mission is spiritual, it's not a physical. It's not a physical one. Since our commissioner is divine, so how can the mission be a physical one? Jesus didn't send his disciples to go and conquer the world. He didn't say, "Go and conquer the physical land, take your army and win the battles." He didn't say that. Because this land, this world, physical world, already belongs to him. So he wouldn't send his disciples to go and conquer the countries. He sent his disciples to conquer the human hearts for him. Jesus wants to be the king, not of your country, but the king of your heart. So when Jesus said go, he was sending his disciples to conquer the hearts of the people. John chapter 18 verse 36, Jesus was talking and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." He said, "My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It has nothing to do with the boundaries, with the names and with the flags. It is built by the spiritually renewed people." He said, "Go and conquer the hearts of many in all the world." Jesus asked a rabbi, a Pharisee, and he said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." When you are going out and preaching the gospel, you are preaching the gospel not to change the minds, Jesus meant to change hearts. Heart is the center of life, the physical life, but it is also the center of spiritual life, where you make all the decisions of your life. That's where Jesus wants his throne to be. That's where he wants to sit. That's where he wants to rule. So when he sends on his commission, he's not sending us on a physical, earthly, or worldly mission. It is a spiritual one. The one where hearts are won. The one where the lives are changed. One where people come to worship Jesus Christ. In the first coming of Jesus Christ, God wanted his people to prepare for his coming. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 17. It says, and he shall go before. He shall go before, that's talking about John the Baptist. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. His first coming needed the human hearts prepared to receive him. And his second coming is also needed, also need human hearts to prepare to receive him. Jesus came for the first time. God sent John the Baptist. He is coming again. He is coming again. Now he's sending you and me. Hey, go and prepare the hearts. Go and prepare the lives so that when the king comes, everybody can receive him. That is the great commission of Jesus Christ. It is spiritual one. It's not physical. When he sent his disciples, they didn't go with the sword. Of course, they had sword, but that was a spiritual sword, the word of God. The word of Jesus was with them, but they didn't have any physical sword. They were beaten and they were tortured. They faced death. Not because they were physically weak, they couldn't defend themselves, but because Jesus sent them a commission, a mission on a mission, which was spiritual one, which was to win the hearts of the people. Paul, when was talking to Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, he said, for the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ, crucified unto the Jews, crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. If the mission was physical, you wouldn't preach Jesus, who was crucified, who was humiliated, who was buried. If this mission was physical one, you would preach exalted and glorious king. And this message to the Greeks is foolishness. And to the Jews, they need miracles, they need signs. And Paul said, his foolishness to Greeks. We don't use human weapons and we don't use human wisdom to preach the gospel. Because the commissioner is divine, the mission is divine, and the people who go and preach, they preach a spiritual message, the message of life saving. Well, this mission week is for one week. Today it initiated, and next Sunday will be concluding Sunday, where Brother Josh preaches holding the rope. And every year we do this mission week, Lord willing, until Jesus comes, we will be celebrating this mission week. But the question is, what do I take from this mission week? How does this apply to me? If Jesus himself emphasized on the Great Commission, what should be my response? Is this a mission week just for a mission week? Or is there anything which really speaks to me? And I would suggest to you, I would advise, this is my advice, Please think for a minute. Take a few moments. Think about it. Think about it. What is your heartbeat? Is your heartbeat Christianity or the commission and the commissioner? It's a very important question. We may be a good Christian, churchgoers, doing everything right. We might be missing the commission of Jesus Christ. Is there anything that we need to change in our lifestyles? Is there a way that we need to emphasize on the commission and the mission of Jesus Christ? Let's think about it. Let me give you a few applications. Am I enthusiastic to go or to send? John Piper wrote his book on the Great Commission, and he said there are three types of Christians in the world. The first ones are those who are enthusiastic to go, and the second ones are those who are enthusiastic to send, and the third one are disobedient. Who are we? There should be enthusiasm, either for going or for sending. Third condition is the severe one. We need to repent from the third one. I would also like you to think about, is my heartbeat mission? How much more time, how much more energy, how much more finances, how much more prayer, how much more Bible study, how much more encouragement goes toward the Great Commission from my personal life? That's the big question. How much is me involved in the Great Commission? And the last one is the most important one. It's a very practical one. Is there a missionary group or a missionary in your prayer list or support list? Do you have somebody, any missionary? I'm not talking about the missionaries in Spokane Baptist Church. You can adopt one if you want to. But is there any missionary group or missionary couple or missionary individual who is on your prayer list? Then you pray for him and he's on your support list. Brother Don, he preached the first devotion on encouraging missionaries, and he talked about encouraging our missionaries with finances. And he taught about how to budget. When you're budgeting, how much do you put for separate for the mission work? Somebody said, the best Christian life financing is take your whole income, give 10% to the church, give 10% to the missions, and 80% of that money remaining, keep for yourself. Enjoy life, spend on your needs, eat well, sleep well, wear well, but keep these principles. Do you have a missionary that you pray for? Do you have a missionary that you support? It is my prayer that everybody in this house will have at least one missionary who you pray for and who you support. First prayer and then support. This mission week will be over next week. But it is my prayer that we will always keep these things in our mind. Jesus' heartbeat is mission. If there was anything else more important than missions, he will tell us. And because he didn't tell us anything else apart from missions, I think this is what he wanted us to keep with us intellectually and practically. So let's bow our heads for a minute and think about these things. Our loving and merciful Father, thank you for loving us. and sending your son Jesus Christ on the mission to save us. Now he has saved us and he's sending us to save, to help spread the gospel. Lord, we pray that guide us into the steps where you want us to see us on this great commission. Lord, please help us to change in a way we need to change so that we will be helpful to accomplish the Great Commission. Lord, we are grateful that we are little ones and we don't even deserve to be in your house, yet you want to involve us in this great, great mission that you want to accomplish on this earth. Lord, you are almighty and you can accomplish on this your own. But thank you very much that you want us to be working hand in hand with you. Thank you. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing a hymn and be dismissed in just a moment. But as we do that, I just want to encourage you, just take a moment of quietness. Think about some of these things that Pastor Farouk shared with us and think about what God might be calling you to be a part of here in the coming missions week, things you can, ways that you can be involved. You know that I'm looking forward to singing in heaven, but I'm finally going to be able to do it. And I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with many of you in heaven. I'm looking forward to getting some of my questions answered. I'm looking forward. I want to see Jesus. I'm looking forward to all of it. But we have this opportunity right now to tell some lost people about him. In heaven, everyone's already going to be saved, praise God. Let's not miss our opportunity to be a part of this commission while we have the opportunity. You think about it for just a minute, then we're going to sing and we'll be dismissed. Hope you can stay for lunch and see you the rest of this week. But take this opportunity just to think about these things. Thank you, Pastor Farouk, for that message.